And I thought about this young man over in the 10th chapter of St. Mark in the 17th verse. And it said, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running unto him, kneeling to him, and asking him, Good master, what good thing shall I do? What shall I do, rather, that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
Yes.
So what I'd like to preach on tonight, and I guess you already know, is one thing thou likest. Just one little thing that you like tonight would maybe keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Did you realize that? Some people said, well, now Jesus is a loving God, and they'll not turn us out. They'll not do away with us. They'll receive us regardless of how we live or how we believe. But I thought about Ma Ratliff when she come to our church, and she come out of another church, and she come down home. And I began to preach to her, and she'd jump off of the seat, and she'd run right up and down through in front of the altar, and she'd say, "Preach it, Brother Benny, you're cultivating the roots." And I thought about a testimony that Sister Ratliff gave us one night, and she said, "Brother Benny," she said, "I've joined every church up and down the High Valley," and she said, "everyone that I've joined wanted to take me out and baptize me in water," and she said, "I went and let them do it." And she said, "You know what I done?" She said, "I went in a dry sinner and come out a wet one." Brother, I want you to know this tonight. I believe in water baptism as much as anybody believes in water baptism. But as I worked with a feller several years up to the plane, and he tried to convert me into the Church of Christ doctrine, and I'm not throwing off on no a denomination tonight. I believe in water baptism, but I believe, thank God, that you have to repent before that you go to a water and be baptized. I don't think water will wash away anybody's sin. I believe it's an answer to a good conscience toward God to let people know that you passed from death unto life. But I want you to know tonight, Brother Simper, he and I worked together for several years, and he would try to convert me into that stuff. And I told him one day, I said, "Now, John," I said, "you and I are Christians," and I said, "I don't argue on the Word of God, but I said, I'm going to tell you plain out, and you just said, well, I should not say any more about it, because I do not believe that water baptism will save anybody." But I said, "One thing I do believe, I believe when you get saved that you ought to go to a holy water and be baptized in water." I want you to know this tonight. You could preach this doctrine all you want to me, but you're just hammering on something that's not going to take no effect in my life. I know I have an idea that Jesus already told this young man what he ought to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. He told him what he ought to do. But I'll tell you one thing about it. Telling people what they ought to do and get them to do it, it's two different things. We're preaching our heart out today. We're telling people they must repent. Like John the Baptist come down through the wilderness. How'd you dare preaching to that people over there? I imagine he was a rugged looking fella. But I'll tell you what he did have. Brother, he had the thing that people needed, and he was telling them about it. And they heard about him, and no doubt they thought, well, we'll run down there to his revival that he's having because there's something different about that man. There's something different about his preaching, and we're going to down there, and we're going to join up with him. But I want you to know that John the Baptist looked at him and he said, you generation of vipers, he said, who's won you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, go ye therefore and bring fruit meet for repentance. And brother, I want you to know this tonight. If that would have been a lot of different denominations, I could have mentioned they'd have grabbed him and run out to the holy water and have put him in a holy water, expecting them to be baptized and join the church.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe in church, aren't you? I'm not preaching Easter church either. I've got one myself. I believe in the church roster. But I believe like this. Brother, before you join my church, get saved. Get saved. Get saved. Get good and saved. As the old preacher said, down about the fifth rib. Now I'll tell you, you'll get something to keep you. I told Brother Butch the other night, I believe it was Brother Butch was talking to, and I said, I saw men and women both. When I started out in this thing about 47 years ago, I said, you'd have thought they were going to set the world on fire the way they started out. Brother, they were a powerhouse for God seemingly, but they just run a little while and faded out of the picture. But I thought about that brother that I'm talking about that I work with. I met him in a funeral home not too long ago, and he had two of his brothers with him in a funeral home. And he said, I want to introduce this man to you. He said, Reverend Benny Grizzle. He said, a man that I worked with several years. He said, I'm not going to tell you that we agreed all the time on the Bible. He said, we didn't agree on the Bible altogether. But I'll tell you, he said, one thing we did do. We left the job, both of us retired, still serving God and loving one another. I want you to know this tonight. I believe this. John the Baptist could have took every one of the people out there and baptized them in water, and maybe he wouldn't have had too much to contend with. But I want you to know this. He had enough of discernment of the Spirit of God to know that they was not a Christian. And he said, you go and bring fruit, meat, for repentance. I want you to know tonight, we need people to repent and people say sin. Oh, yes. I was thinking about them 5, 10 virgins, 5 of them wise, 5 of them foolish. And the sad part of it was, the wise took the lamps and took oil in the vessels. You know what oil is? Oil is a type of the Spirit. And they took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Ain't that a sad picture tonight? The church is in that condition tonight. I preached on this news in a message one night down home, and I said, we are prone to do this. I said, we'll leave home empty. We'll come to church and set a vessel down empty, get up and take it home empty, and not do anything about it. But I said, one of these times that the cry is going out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Oh yes, all of them arose. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil for our lamps has gone out. Ain't that gonna be a sad thing one of these days when everybody is slumbering and sleeping and at midnight the cry is going out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And they're all gonna rise. Oh yes, they're all gonna be woke up. But the sad part of it is the foolish is going to find out that they haven't got what it's going to take to make them a fit subject for the city of God. That's what's going to happen one of these days. I thought about this. They said, give us some your oil, for our lamps has gone out. Oh, yes. Brother, I want you to know this. There's going to be a crying out one of these days, and the people's going to run and say, help me. I don't have anything that I can get in on. Please help me. Give me some of your oil for my lamps going out. But the sad part of it is, it's going to be too late. Going to be too late. And the Bible said that the wise said to the foolish, we don't have enough for us and you, but go to them that sell and buy for yourself. While he went to buy, the bridegroom came, and the sad part of it was this, and they that were ready, went in with him, and the door was shut.
Yep, that's it, brother.
Did you ever have a door shut in your face? Have you? I thought about when Noah, after God had give people the privilege that he'd give people back in the days of Noah. That gangplank was laid down there for whosoever will.
Yes, amen.
For whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. There wasn't nobody cut out. Everybody had the same privileges. Amen. Could you say amen to that? Everybody had the same privilege. All they'd have had to done, just walk up the gangplank. And went on in. No, they didn't see no use of it. They didn't see no use of it at that time. But there come a time when the waters begin to fall. Floods begin to come up. I picture that a lot of times. I picture people running, screaming, begging, running to the highest hill they can find. Water coming right on up, trying to find refuge in some other way. Water coming right on up. You know, that's a sad thing to know that people's put it off till it's eternally too late, and there's no refuge that they can go to, no place that they can find any safety. But after a while, the flood wiped them all out when they could have been rescued, just like Noah, his sons and wives and his wife. They had the same privilege. Today, people's got the same privilege. You know what they're doing? They're waiting till some other time. Waiting till some other time. And I thought about how when God got Noah and his family into the ark, and all the beasts and animals and fowls of the air and everything that he wanted in there, Noah didn't shut the door. Did you ever read that?
Yes, sir.
Noah didn't shut the door. You know why he didn't shut the door? I'm a firm believer in this. Noah was a person just like you and I are.
Yes,
and I believe this. When the people began to cry and beg, I believe Noah would have went and opened the door.
Yes, amen, brother.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Yes.
I believe that Noah would have went and opened the door. You dads that's got children, got a family started. If that was one of your children out there drowning in water, if you could help it, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. I would. I would. I know I would. But I'll tell you why. They couldn't be no help given to nobody. God had shut the door. God had shut the door. The Bible said God shut him in. God shut him in. Nobody could open it. Now I want you to know tonight, there's a door shut in your face. There's a door shut in your face. You may be the very one that will go down in defeat tonight. But I tell you one thing about it, God's made a way for you. God's made a way for you, and you're choosing. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you serve. I thought about this man that run to Jesus. And he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He knew what it took. But he began to try to find an easier way.
Yes.
I thought about Brother Manus. He's dead and gone now. Preacher that used to travel from Los Angeles, California into Kentucky and preach through the summer back and forth. He told me he had a dream one night. He said, Brother Benny, I dreamed about the Golgotha mountain where Jesus was crucified. He said, I dream about that mountain. And he said, I wanted to go there. But he said, I was trying to find some easier way to get up than what he traveled. And he said, I was trying everywhere in the world. I couldn't find nowhere seemingly to get up without traveling the same rugged path that he had to go up. And he said, I woke up. And he said, when I woke up, I was crying like a baby. And he said, I began to question myself, Lord, am I trying to find some easier way? Am I trying to find some easier way? He said, I got the opportunity to go to the Holy Lands. And he said, the guy that was over us, he said, they was having trouble over there. And he said, the guy told me and another brother, we was going to go up one morning. We got up early and was going to go up the mountain where Jesus was crucified. And he said, you can't go up there. Can't go up there. He said, I've got to go. I've got to go. He said, I took a chance on getting shot. But he said, I had to go. I wanted to prove to God that I wasn't trying to get up any other way. He said, I traveled the rugged road that Jesus traveled with his cross. He said, it was rough, but I made it. I made it. And listen tonight, I'm not trying to get in any other way. I'm not trying to find no easy way. I'm going to come in just like the Bible says, by the door. I'm going to come in by the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. And I want to go in just like He is the door and open it up to me. Amen. Because one of these days, I know I'm going to have to go. I know I'm going to have to go. I looked at Brother Webb today, and bless his heart. So much weight that he had lost. And I looked at them eyes as he sunk in his head. And I remember the interpretation of the Holy Ghost back years ago. Said you'll look upon people one day that their eyes will be sunk in their heads. Said from sickness, diseases, it's going to come upon the land. And that reminds me a lot of time when I look at people and their eyes is sunk in their head, look like you could lay an egg in their eye socket.
Yes.
And I think about that a lot of times. Folks, the best life in the world that I know to live is to live for the Lord.
That's right.
This young, rich young ruler here, he had plenty.
Yeah.
He had plenty. He had between him and God. A lot of people today got a lot of things between them and God.
Yes.
They don't want to give it up. But I'm going to tell you one thing, and I believe this with the bottom of my heart. I believe anything that you give up, I believe heaven will be cheap at any cost. Amen. You may have $1 million, and you may have it between you and God. That may keep you out of heaven, but I'll tell you one thing about it. One second, like I said in hell the other night, you'd give 10,000 worlds like this if you had one more opportunity.
Right.
You hear what I say? You hear what I say? One second in hell, you give 10,000 worlds like this to have one more opportunity to be in a Pentecostal service like this. Have a chance to pray. Have a chance to repent. I'm telling you facts. Well, I'm telling you facts what I know. I believe that rich man over there right tonight that we preached about the other night a little bit. After they had done so, a man so evil and was so cruel to him and everything, but I thought about this. The very, very minute that he went to suffering in hell, that old man looked good to him. He just wanted him to come down there. Them old sore fingers maybe that he looked at sometimes. That sore body and all that. But brother, I'll tell you, when he began to suffer in hell, he wanted them fingers dipped in water.
Yes.
Drop some of it on his tongue.
Yes.
Drop some of it on his tongue.
Yes.
Them sores didn't look bad then.
Tonight,
amen. Them sores didn't look bad then.
Right,
but
amen.
He wanted some water. Why? Because he was suffering in torments. Torments. And it's going to be a sad thing for people that had once had a good experience with the Lord.
Yes.
Once had a good opportunity to serve God. Make it into the city of God. Someday maybe wind up screaming, begging, pleading for somebody to help. Somebody to help them. I'd like for them to get a song right now. I'm going to close. But I don't want to close this service without trying to persuade you to do something about your soul's welfare. Amen. Amen. I've never been burnt very bad. I was burnt one time up.